Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, podcast where we read The Narrow Road Between Desires, page by page. This is page 155. Pem said, louder, plainly irritated at being ignored, "But Mom says it's not medicine. She says he's on the bottle, and Grandpa says he feels loads better, so it's medicine, by damn it." She looked back and forth between Bast and Wilk as if waiting for them to scold her. Neither of them did. She looked a little crestfallen. "That one is good," Wilk admitted at last. "What's the answer?" Bast gave a slow grin. "What will you trade me for it?" Wilk cocked his head on one side. "I already said, a favor." "I traded you the riddle for a favor," Bast said easily. "But now you're asking for the answer." Wilk looked confused for half a moment. Then his face went red and angry. He drew a deep breath as if it were going to shout. Then he seemed to think better of it and stormed down the hill, stomping his feet. His sister watched him go, then turned her back to Bast. "Your shirt is ripped," she said disapprovingly, "and you've skinned your knuckles and got grass stain on your pants. Your mam is going to give you a hiding." "No, she won't," Bast said smugly, "because I'm all grown and I can do whatever I want." That's the page. I'm Joy.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Bill. I love the lessons the kids are getting in this. This page almost is its own little micro story, but they're learning some hard life lessons here.
And this kid's Pem is blabbing to everyone that her grandma drinks his medicine, but Mom says it's not medicine.
Yeah.
And then she swears and like waits to get yelled at because she's just trying to get someone to pay attention.
Oh, she just wants a reaction of any kind.
Yeah, because they're totally ignoring her.
Yeah.
My kids are fully in that phase, both of them. They're 8 and 11, and they both will like say stuff and then sort of cringe a bit, but it's sort of an excited, like, oh, wait, am I going to get in trouble? Did they hear that? I don't know. Let's see how this goes.
They just want to know what's going to happen, and they're very excited for it.
I assume that trend doesn't really stop for a while.
No, that'll keep going for a bit. That's fine.
I feel like we keep doing that, but just like in more and more sophisticated ways.
Right.
That's true. They just get better at it.
Hey, I'm going to tweet about the new Doritos flavor, see what happens.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to like bash a whole breed of dogs on this podcast.
Who would do that?
And they're irresponsible, ignorant owners.
So yesterday I remembered from Lightning Tree that this was what happened, and this part hasn't really changed. But I do like that she somehow kind of stands up for her brother, even though they totally ignored her.
Oh, yeah.
By being like, "You're dirty. You're going to get in trouble."
Oh, I hadn't read it that way. That is funny, though. She's just kind of taking pot shots at Bast to knock him down a peg.
I guess so. I mean, what motivation did you take it as for her to just like, maybe it was just she was observing?
Yeah, and I just took it as that sort of little kid not talking about social grace at all, just saying, "Oh, your shirt's ripped." But I kind of like your reading of it better.
Yeah, and I kind of took it as just like another bid for attention. Like maybe she even like kind of knows that that's not a thing you're supposed to say. But just like, "Your shirt's ripped. Your mom's going to get against birch you."
Speaking of things you aren't supposed to say, Bast does that as well, right? He's like, "Look, I'm a grown-up. I can do whatever I want. There's no justification required." Yeah, exactly.
"And I'm going to have an icing bun for breakfast." No one's going to stop me.
No one's going to tell me to eat my greens.
I'll just pay the consequences if I don't. But I do think, we've got like a little better description of what has happened to Bast here. So on the last page, we know that he had dark streaks of blood dripping from his hand. And now we also know his shirt is ripped. He's skinned his knuckles and he's got a grass stain on his pants.
Yeah, so I would say the combination of him smelling Granda and then also having these injuries and grass stains and whatnot would say to me that he both wrecked up the still and beat up Jessam between the chapters here.
But he doesn't... Does he beat Jessam up? I thought he gets really drunk with Jessam.
I think in at least in the Lightning Tree, all of that happens off page. So
it's just presumptive anyway.
Yeah.
What makes you think he gets drunk with Jessam?
Now I haven't read the Lightning Tree since a few months ago, but I thought what happened was he breaks up the still. He gets Jessam so drunk that he can't remember what happened. And so it's sort of conclusions get reached. I don't remember physical harm coming to Jessam, but again, it's been a while.
I feel like that is a possibility that he gets Jessam drunk because they find Jessam having fallen over like a waterfall or something.
Yeah, it must not be these kids considering they storm off at the end here. But there's definitely some kids that Bass sends inadvertently kind of to find Jessam.
Oh, to discover him. Okay.
These ones do come back.
They do? Okay, so it might be these kids.
There's got to be like another retort, like, you suck, Bass, from the Wilk kid or whatever.
Do we think...
In the chat, Amrita is asking us to look at the favor that he asked for.
He didn't ask for the favor yet. He didn't specify what it is anyway. He asked for a favor, but he didn't say. But yeah.
Favor?
Yeah, it just says, I need a favor. I'll trade you for a favor for a riddle. But it didn't say what the favor is yet. Were you reading ahead of
Riddle? Kindle version.
Amrita is reading from the Kindle, so it's not as easy to distinguish the pages.
she is looking shamefaced. It's okay.
She's talking to us from the future, is what's happening.
From the future.
So Wilk doesn't get the answer to this riddle?
Right. I don't think
I guess we'll have to find out.
Outside of this book, assuming he doesn't, how long do you think he waits before he comes back and trades for the answer?
I'm sure it's got to happen within a day. Or maybe he just like makes up his own answer.
I bet it's within a day. Or maybe he realizes he doesn't actually need the answer.
I suppose he doesn't. He can just be like, oh, you didn't get it.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, and I guess...
That's not it.
If the person he's telling to provides a correct answer, then
you could just still say you're wrong.
Yeah,
it's true.
The point is that the kid doesn't get it, so...
Right.
All life lessons from Bast here.
Does anyone have any other things on this page?
I'm good.
Just like that I like Bast trickery. It reminds me of when Quoth went to Traben and asked the Tinker... Like, sold the Tinker the horse and then, like, asked what he would trade for the saddle.
Yeah, what will you give me for the tack? Totally.
And I was like, oh, and what about this? It feels very reminiscent.
I like a boy who's not afraid to push for a little extra.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cute. I think that is, like, a good mirrored moment.
I feel like that's yet another parallel between Bast and Young Foth.
It's kind of nice. I guess maybe that's part of why he chooses to do this with kids, because he can sort of constantly be pulling these moves.
Oh, yeah.
And they never sort of, there's enough of them and they're never quite sharp enough to really be on top of it with him.
Right.
Yeah, like Castro might get it, but most of the other kids probably wouldn't.
Right.
He's talked about how clever Castro is. But yeah.
And that's still a game, right? He still wants to get one over on Castro.
In the chat, John said that Bast would be a terrible parent, but I feel like maybe if he was trying to parent the kids, he would be different. I don't know if that's true. What do you guys think?
I don't think he'd be necessarily a good human parent, but again, I don't think we can equate human and fey morality or goodness, sure, various things, just because they are so different, and that is very much emphasized to us in Wise Man's Fear.
I think he'd be a good uncle.
Yeah.
Maybe an ideal uncle.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Right? That's kind of your job, to get your niece or nephew into a little bit of shit, but then help them out of it.
They gotta get a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, like that's what you're supposed to do, I think. Expose them to things their parents, who are actually in charge of their safety, aren't gonna do.
Any other things?
I think that's all I got.
We will lead you away from safety on tomorrow's narrow
page.